What is up, everybody? Devin Henry here again. It's Clutch Talk time once again. Happy to have you along for the ride. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday. You're almost halfway through the week. That means something, at least, I guess. I know it's, I mean, we just passed Monday. It's not that big of a deal, whatever. But we're getting through the week. We got more high school football coming up. I'm writing right now for Sports 360 AZ. That's a very local writing and video content source. We're going to talk a little bit about the West Side in Arizona. Huge out-of-state game going to be on Friday night. And then a couple of huge Valley games are going to be to Friday night as well. We're going to talk about the those games on the West Valley. And, of course, how do we not talk football? Football is year-round. I'm going to probably go on a rant about how much I hate preseason football. And then, of course, college football starts off this weekend. How do you not love ESPN's marketing for college football, guys? I absolutely adore what they put into those, the songs, the videos. They do such a great job. But we're talking ASU and Arizona football. We'll talk about the Phoenix Mercury. Game two of the semifinals are tonight. Hopefully, we don't have a replay of last year's semifinals for the Mercury. But holy cow, if you guys are not watching Diana Taurasi just go out and ball, you guys are missing it. You guys really are missing it. And finally, instead of whipping around the state, because we only really have a few sports going on, and we will talk D-backs, but I'm going to talk about the best things that I have seen in sports this week. One of them has nothing to do with sports. The other one does have a little bit to do with sports. But we'll get to all of that. We're going to start things off, though, with the Arizona Cardinals. Preseason game number four coming on up on Thursday, just 2 days away. And it's, I mean, don't expect much. First of all, we don't need four preseason games. That's just how people get hurt. Josh Rosen with a thumb injury. There's been no clarification on if he will or will not play against the Broncos on Thursday night. I say probably not because his thumb is already hurt. So this is a game where you weren't going to see much anyway if it was a Sunday night game, purely because the Cardinals play the Broncos in a couple months from now in the regular season. So neither team are really going to show each other, you know, a preview of what they're going to see in the regular season. That's just not how it works. It's kind of like what we saw with the Chargers in week one of the preseason. And of course, a lot of these guys who played big minutes on Sunday, they're probably not going to play much. Bradford, he got hit a couple times, and it was good to see him get up fine from that. A guy who's torn two ACLs is someone who every time he gets hit, you're going to hold your breath, man. But I wouldn't expect to see him go more than a drive. This is the fourth preseason game of the year. No one wants to play in this game. Everyone just wants to get their so far healthy roster into week one against the Redskins. And I mean, this is why you hate preseason. DJ Foster with an Coach Wilkes talked yesterday, it was an ACL and MCL tear, I believe it was, and I mean, that just sucks. It just really sucks. This guy coming from the Patriots didn't play a lot, and he's from Arizona. He played for Saguaro, and he's back home. He was going to be in the roster this year. He was going to probably be second, if not third, to Logan for that running back spot, and we were going to see him play this year. The Cardinals had such a deep and such a interesting group of running backs, and now DJ Foster's gone for the season. It just sucks. And you, of course, you had A.Q. Shipley at the very beginning of the year. He's out for the year too, but the Cardinals went out and said, even though this is the last year of your contract, we're going to sign you for another one because they believe in A.Q. Shipley, even with the youngster Mason Cole going to be, you know, hopefully for the Cardinals, making the majority of the snaps this year. And that's why preseason football sucks, is that you have your main guys get injured. And, of course, people like Mason Cole are going to get these really cool minutes now and really cool opportunities. But if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, seeing Shipley and Foster out for the season just brings you to tears, man. And then you, every time Bradford gets hit, you're going, not another. Please, not another. And I don't know. It's just, you're not going to see anything this Thursday. I mean, I'm going to watch it just because I'm getting back into the zone of being able to get into the swing of play-by-play. I'll be calling the Liberty Sunrise game on Friday night for high school football and throughout the rest of the season as well. But, I mean, unless you really, really want to see how second and third stringers go, if you really want to see who's going to make the roster this year, Cap Cappy has been awesome. What I think it's Wolfie is calling him Mr. August. Cap Cappy has been fantastic. And I mean, in that game against the Cowboys, he had that sack. And looking back at the game against the Cowboys, the Cardinals absolutely routed them 27-3. Cowboys didn't even deserve those 3 points. The Cardinals just went out and collected turnover after turnover after turnover, over half a dozen turnovers through fumbles or interceptions by the Cardinals. But you got to take that with a huge grain of salt. You know, you're not really going to see a heck of a lot of these starters for the Cowboys out there playing. We didn't see Zeke. We didn't see Dak Prescott. And you're not going to in preseason stuff like this. It seems like the Patriots are the only ones who take preseason seriously for really not a great reason when you have a quarterback that old. But, I mean, I'm not really excited to watch any of the preseason. I missed the Chargers game. I missed the majority of the Saints game because, quite frankly, I just didn't care. I mean, we're going to watch Bradford. How does he hold up in those drives that he has? He's been throwing fantastic with those short throws. And finally, when he decides to step back is when he gets hit. And it looked like he was fine from that. But you don't want to take too many chances on that in the preseason. Heck, even in the regular season, could you start off against the Redskins and the Rams? But you know, you got to take what you see in the regular season with a huge grain of salt. Cardinals, you know, probably should absolutely rout the Broncos too. 4-0 preseason is great, but I mean, it was shown last year that just because you go 4-0 in the preseason doesn't mean you won't go 0-16 in the regular season. So, of course, what we're going to be talking about next week before the Redskins game on September 9th is going to be who's starting week one. We're going to talk next week about Josh Rosen versus Sam Bradford for that starting position. We'll talk a little bit about the defense as well. Some guys showing up with the loss of the Honey Badger this year. Double P, Patrick Peterson, Double P, is doing fantastic. He had those huge INTs, forced fumble against the Cowboys. But like I said, take it with a grain of salt because who cares? Most of the starters weren't in for the Cowboys. If you were to play them later this season, you're going to have a different game than a 27-3 routing. So, you know, not a big fan of the preseason football. You know, we'll talk a little bit about it next week with the Broncos game. But once again, this is a team who you're going to see later this year. They're not going to do anything crazy against them, like running their actual meaningful plays. So don't expect too much come Thursday night, especially when it's such a quick turnaround for a team playing on Sunday and then going and playing on Thursday. Let's move to college now. Let's move to something that people are actually looking forward to in the world of football this weekend. Am I right? No, we are going to have Arizona and ASU finally rocking and rolling this weekend. Arizona starts off their season against BYU. ASU starts off their season against UTSA. Both of them are at home. Both these games, I think, are going to have a pretty high attendance rating compared to some of the previous seasons for both of these squads, with, of course, Kevin Sumlin at the helm of Arizona. And then, of course, we have Mr. Herm Edwards at the helm of the Sun Devils. AZ Central put out an article entitled, "Think Herm Edwards is worried about first game as ASU coach? Think again." I never thought that he would be worried about it. He's a pretty confident sounding guy. I really don't think he's that worried about the first game of his college coaching career. But we'll take a look first at Arizona. BYU is a team that went 4-9 last year. They're not a team who's going to contend this year. You know, they had some offensive standouts last year, which was cool to see for BYU, but don't expect anything major out of them. This should be I don't want to say the first test for Arizona, but this should be not a preseason game, but a game where you can kind of get all those jitters out. Of course, you're going to have mustard all over the turf this game with flags left and right, but the Arizona Wildcats, of course, are going to be led by Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate is going to be the name spoken week after week, game after game, even after practice, day after day. You know, so it's really going to be interesting to see if this offensive line can protect Khalil Tate, because they're going to be slinging it through the air a lot this year. And this O-line is pretty dang fresh, guys. They lost three starters from last year, and they're trying to put together a new O-line, but already the starting center is doubtful for the first season with knee issues that started up in the spring. So now what do? You have all these newbies coming onto the team and starting for the first time against BYU. And so there's going to be at least four brand new offensive linemen on a team where protecting Khalil Tate, him going out and running, and even the run game were so big last year. Will Kevin Sumlin change that? Will they be a predominantly passing team? and the O-line won't have to worry too much as long as Tate can sling out some passes pretty quickly. You know, you just don't know, but Saturday night's going to be a lot of fun, and you know that Kevin Sumlin is for real about being the coach of Arizona. Of course, he came from back east, and a Texas A&M transfer has just been taken off of the Arizona roster for racial slurs. I mean, when you have a good player, sometimes you try to mask that up and go and slap him on the hand and go, no, you don't do that. But someone's serious. He said, even though, you know, we're kind of from the same place, you transferred over here to play for me, I don't accept any of that stuff. And so Kevin Sumlin is taking this as a real deal. And, I mean, it's really interesting. There was a report last year about African-American coaches in the state of Arizona, and all of a sudden with ASU and Arizona's coaching vacancies last year, that number has skyrocketed. And I think that both of these guys who have gotten a lot of heat over the spring, now that we're finally making our way to the start of the season, people are going, oh, you know, it probably won't actually be that bad because you have two standout coaches. Looking at the coach of ASU, Herm Edwards, it's not like he doesn't know what he is doing. Yeah, I get it. He hasn't coached any kind of football team for years since he's been with ESPN. But at the very least, guys, maybe ASU will be on ESPN and SportsCenter more often. Have you thought about that? That's definitely going to be a plus. But, of course, you know, quarterback is going to be the big story here as well, Manny Wilkins. This is a guy who developed a lot last year. You saw him from going out and hurdling over people, which makes for great highlights, not so great if you get hit in the wrong spot and you're out for a season. But you saw his depth, both running and passing the ball. He got so much better. And, you know, a lot of the question last year was about Blake Barnett. Would Blake Barnett be taking over the starting spot after transferring from Alabama? And we saw how much QB depth Alabama has after last year. But, you know, it's cool to see Manny Wilkins grow into a spot. This is a team that ASU played last year, UTSA. This is a team that they've already dealt with before last season. So I think both of these major questions are going to be, you know, the offenses. But like I mentioned last year, I'm not going to come out and start trying to figure out what in the world we're going to analyze when it comes to these young football players, some of these new froshes that are coming in and going to make a difference, you know. I don't like to look back and try to analyze them to the point where, you know, in high school he did this and he did this in the Senior Bowl or the blue and white game or the red and silver game or whatever. I just don't care about that because it's so hard to analyze a player going from college to the pros. It's even harder to analyze a kid going from high school to college. They're two completely different games, especially when you're at a Power 5 school and you're in the bowl game conference, the FBS, you know? So I'm not going to come out and start analyzing players until we get this first game with UTSA and BYU over with. And I'll start telling you about some of these guys that we should be watching out for. But until I know otherwise, I think that's going to be another big emphasis on the offense. Of course, we know from last year that ASU secondary and D-line has been an issue for the past few years, and when you have a new coach, your recruiting, quite frankly, doesn't help out all that much. So while UTSA is going to be a team to be careful with the secondary, I'm more interested to see if Manny Wilkins can outgun them or not. When it comes to BYU, can Khalil Tate be comfortable in the pocket or running outside the pocket and try and make big plays? So I know that's not a ton. I know that's not a huge amount of substance on your college football scene, but, you know, I don't want to go in there and start all of a sudden making a bunch of crazy noise just based off of the non-existent preseason that is NCAA football. So we're going to move on from that. We'll talk plenty more football next week when we have week one of the NFL football with the Cardinals starting up, and we'll talk more once ASU and Arizona get on their feet. And we finally have a week of watching some of these teams. And, of course, you don't want to talk about, but there very well might be some crazy injuries that we see coming up here this weekend, both on Thursday for the Cardinals and Saturday for ASU U of A. Hopefully there are none, but, man, the first week is always scary. Let's move along now. Before we get to the D-backs, we'll close with that here today. Let's whip around the state, and instead of doing a crazy whip around like I did last week, because we only have Mercury in high school football until we get the Suns and other stuff and other collegiate sports starting here. I want to talk to you guys about the best things that I've seen in sports this week. Yeah, it's only been 2 days, so I'm going to go like the past 7 days. But both of these are things that I saw today. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is nothing to do with sports. I love it. But it was on a sports show. If you guys watched the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz on ESPN News or you listened to it on ESPN Radio, these guys get a lot of heat for not, you know, talking sports half the time. And they get a lot of heat for bringing on this guest that they had today. They had a zookeeper on. I think it's a weekly segment where they have a zookeeper on and they talk about the zoo. And they had questions like, if there was an NFL, if there's two NFL expansion teams, what would you want the animal to be in? But before they got to the topic that I'm about to talk about, they were talking I was about to turn it off because they were talking about some stuff while I was eating that I was like, I don't know if I want to listen to this while I'm having breakfast. I don't know if I want to talk about zoo animal reproduction while I'm eating breakfast. And so I almost turned it off. I'm glad that I didn't because what they did was what they had the zookeeper do a play-by-play. If you guys have ever listened to Ozzy Man, rated R, by the way, watch out for language with Ozzy Man, but he does some funny like play-by-plays of wild animals doing crazy stuff. And so they had the zookeeper do a play-by-play of a goose fighting an elephant. And might I tell you, it was pretty dang awesome. This goose was scaring that elephant. If you have time, search this. It was absolutely hilarious. And the zookeeper doing the play-by-play, screaming and shouting, that was just a lot of fun. But let's get to some actual fun sports stuff that I saw. I saw it's on Instagram. It was ESPN who posted it. You can go and look this up. Basically, what the head coach of Arkansas was talking about was being prepared week in and week out for football. He was talking about some preseason scrimmages and stuff, and he mentioned if so-and-so gets hurt, if our snapper gets hurt for our extra points or for our field goal attempts, anyone should be able to hop in there and try to successfully do that. So, you know, if we had so-and-so over here, come on over here, and if you are a snapper, would you be able to snap it to our holder? Okay, good. Well, what if our holder is hurt? Can we have one of you other guys be our holder and successfully hold the ball for the kick? Yeah, you, so-and-so. Would you be able to do that? Come on over here. And, you know, maybe our kicker is out. Maybe our guy who kicks the ball is out. And you talked about how they saw that last week where some guys had to step up and be a part of this team where they were doing something that they weren't used to. So he said, so-and-so, if you had to kick the ball for an extra point or a field goal, could you do it? All right, come over here. And so basically the three guys that he grabbed were walk-ons who did not have full scholarships, who I don't even know if they were officially on the team yet, coming down to the first week of college football. And he said, can you three snap, hold, and kick a field goal for me? I think it's about a 20-yard field goal. And so they sent him on over there. And it was snapped, it was grabbed really well, and they kicked it and they split the uprights. And so the whole team goes crazy, and the coach goes, guys, that is why you always need to be practicing and getting ready for anything, because these three guys just got full ride scholarships now. How cool a story is that, man? You know, all these guys who try to go in and try to be a part of a college team, a big college team, like an SEC team, like Arkansas, and getting a full ride scholarship. And I mean, what a way to tell them, you know, try to get them to do something crazy and announcing that they have full ride scholarships and that they will be on the roster this year for this football season. I just absolutely loved watching that. My brother sent that to me on Instagram this morning, and I was just going, oh my goodness, that's such a cool story. So, you know, weeks that we won't wrap around the state or some weeks that we do, but I see some really cool stuff going on in the sports world. I want to tell you guys about it and have you guys go and look for it because some of the stuff is really, really cool. So we're going to keep on moving now in the world of sports, but, you know, looking outside, beautiful day here in Arizona. We're just peaking over 100 degrees for any of you guys listening outside of the state. Yeah, so it's pretty hot outside, but the Phoenix Mercury are making it pretty hot inside as well because they, oh my gosh, that was such a great game on Sunday with the Phoenix Mercury and the Seattle Storm. Diana Taurasi is on fire right now, guys. She is going out there. She's making double-doubles look easy for crying out loud. She had a fantastic game against the Seattle Storm in the first game, but I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Diana Taurasi was absolutely, she was throwing these dimes out there, some amazing assists. This game was down to the wire. The final score was 91-87 for the Storm. And what I just hope doesn't happen is a repeat of last year. This is the same thing that the Mercury did last year, except last season they were playing the Sparks in the semifinal, but they would end up after two spectacular first and second round games, they get swept by the number one seed. I mean, that would just, oh my goodness, with Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi playing as well as they are. I mean, Bonner's going out there. Phoenix has a big three, essentially, when it comes to the Mercury. And I wish that Brittany Griner could grab the ball in the post more. I mean, she's bigger than so many other players. And Breonna Stewart is big, but she's usually going to be around the perimeter. And I think Brittany Griner has the ability to really dominate the paint and dominate on the block. And she's just not able to utilize that build and that height to be able to give the ball down low if Diana isn't able to pull anything together and Bonner isn't hustling her way into the lane. I mean, it's a triple threat offense, really, but you have to be able to beat the Storm tonight if they want any chance to move on into the championship and try to get oh so closer to the Arizona Rattlers for the most championships in professional sports in the state of Arizona. I mean, guys, if you're not watching this, especially if you're from Phoenix, I mean, just watch tonight. I know it's almost prime time. It'll be like 4 o'clock in Arizona. But if you're not watching Diana Taurasi, you have the opportunity here in Arizona to be watching one of the greatest women's basketball players of all time. She's going to be one of the GOATs. Let's move on now. Hopefully, we'll be talking more about the Mercury when we come around next Tuesday, and hopefully, we're going to be talking about them being in the championship. But for now, let's move on over to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I called last week one of the, if not the luckiest teams in the MLB, because while they are losing games, the Dodgers are giving off walk-off balks, and the Rockies can't seem to find their zone. Well, now that Zach Greinke has kind of seemed to figure out exactly where he wants to go, which, by the way, the Diamondbacks had like this little, like, I don't know what you want to call it, but they have like themed dress-up days when they go on the road, and for this dress-up day, they did sports jerseys, and I saw Zach Greinke had like Loki-style slicked back hair, and he had his jersey on, and I was like, man, Zach Greinke is like Mr. No Fun, so I wouldn't expect him to. I mean, he doesn't do the freight train. He's really not all that excitable. He just kind of goes and he does his thing and then he goes home. But he was doing the jersey, and I thought that was really cool. But nonetheless, the D-backs, after I said, hey, they might be getting back into the swing of things because they went 3-1 against the Padres, and then they swept out the Angels, I was like, you know, maybe these Diamondbacks, they've got things back. And the swing of things, well, in the last four games, three against the Mariners and last night against the Giants, they are 1-3. So once again, while the D-backs decide to go on this random stretch where they are giving up 17 runs in four games while they only score seven, the Rockies are catching up. The Rockies are only one game behind. If they wouldn't have lost last night, that would be a huge problem for them. But the Dodgers continue to lose as well. It's really amazing to me that the Arizona Diamondbacks are still in the lead. I don't understand how these guys are still in the lead, even after these really tough stretches in both May, and now here we are in August, moving towards September, and they're not doing much better. There's only two games before the D-backs play the Dodgers again. D-backs play the Giants tonight, tomorrow night, and then a three-game series with the Dodgers Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you hit the Padres for two games. Then you hit the Braves for four games. Then you hit the Rockies for three more games. I mean, honestly, they should go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 wins in a row. You know, sweep the Padres, sweep the Braves, sweep the Rockies. Those should be 9 wins right there. Then they play the Astros for three games and the Cubs for three games. That's going to be a tough stretch. But none of that matters if they get swept by the Dodgers on the road in a four-game series. So, first of all, a loss to the Giants really isn't acceptable this late in the year. Second of all, losing a series to the Giants would be absolutely devastating. Peralta has been on a tear offensively. Goldschmidt has been finding his way to score and bring runners in. And it feels like we're back to 2 years ago, where the reason why the D-backs are losing games was because they couldn't pitch. They couldn't pitch the ball. They couldn't keep up with how the other offenses were playing against the pitching staff. And, of course, that was a little bit different when Paul Goldschmidt was even better than he is right now when he's constantly in those MVP races. And then, of course, there was also J.D. Martinez. But with that aside, the pitching staff, which was something that was really reliable the last couple of years, to be honest with you, after the addition of Zach Greinke. But now things are different. Things have changed when we're in the dog days of summer and we're in the dog days of baseball. And the season feels like it's already been going on forever. I don't know. You get to a point where you watch baseball and you go, eh. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, oh yeah, I love the D-backs, but every now and again, I I'm at work and I'm doing stuff and I zone out in around May. And so I come back in August and I go, oh, hey, how's the team doing now? And it's completely different because when you hop into a stretch, every now and again, stuff ends up being different than it was before. You end up running into stretches where you're just not as good as you once were. We'll talk more Diamondbacks a little bit later on. We're running out of time here in this half-hour gap that we have. But last thing I want to talk about is some high school football. I'm going to be on call for Liberty High School taking on Sunrise Mountain. That is either going to be a shootout or a defensive battle. Keegan Freed is an absolute monster, just like his, its predecessor was, Chase Cord, who's now at Boise State. I mean, I watched the kid hurdle over 6-foot defenders into the end zone. Beat that. Liberty, they kind of found an offensive stretch after a 7-0 win against Brophy in week 0. I wasn't all that impressed in the offense. Of course, the defense with Braxton Crotto and Ryan Puskas was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was really fun watching those two work on the defense. And then Jaron Pena had two INTs to go along with that. But their offense it wasn't there at all. Jonah Guevara, a youngster, still finding the ropes. But against Copper Canyon, holy cow, they found the end zone a ton of times. Back-to-back shutouts to start off their 6A career. That's fun. Meanwhile, Sunrise, they had an absolute dominating week 0 performance. Then in week 1, they took on Williamsfield, who was your defending state runner-up, if you will. And they finally got their first dose of what it's like to be in the 5A conference. Now, of course, Liberty 6A, and then in the 5A is Sunrise Mound, so it's a little bit flip-flop. But this is a fun rivalry. The reason why there's a Liberty High School was because Sunrise Mountain got so big. Sunrise Mountain got so big that they had an external campus. They had an off-site campus where all the freshmen went their first year. And eventually they said, we need to build another high school. And so that's where Liberty came from. And so that's how a lot of these rivalries start, is I want to beat my old school, because all the freshmen who went to Liberty the first year, and then they were sophomores or they were juniors, they wanted to go out and meet Sunrise because that's where all their other friends were. And that's just kind of grown over the years. And so it's fun. It's really fun to learn a little bit more about what the kids think the rivalry is now that, you know, we're over 10 years removed from that, and how they feel the game is going to go and how this game is and the history behind it. It's really interesting talking to some of the kids. But I definitely think that the matchup of the weekend will be Centennial High School hosting Bishop Gorman. Yeah, that's the one that Snoop Dogg's kid went to, yes. But they are the 9-time defending NIAA, Nevada, basically, Nevada State champions. 9-time defending. That's better than Saguaro over here, for crying out loud. These guys are national threats until they played the number one school in the nation last week and got shut out for the first time in a dozen years. So I wrote up a story for AZ, for Sports 360 AZ, with that Brad Sesmat owns, and wrote up a story, and I said the key to the game for the Coyotes, kick them while they're down. Right now, the Gales of Bishop Gorman are on a low streak right now, and there's only two ways that a high school team comes back from that. One, they're ticked off and they're completely unstoppable. Or two, they're down in the dumps, and they're going to stay down in the dumps, and it's going to be a hard hole for them to dig out of. And if you're Centennial, that's how you're going to have to hope it goes. What that team from California, who's number one in the nation, did to Bishop Gorman that they did so well was that they destroyed the pass game. This is a team with such a heavy offense, and most heavy offenses in high school are the passing ones, and they just stopped them. They had less, about 100 yards passing, which isn't terrible, but what happened was Bishop Gorman had the ball for about two-thirds of the game. They had the ball for about 30 minutes possession time, but every single time they tried to track their way to the end zone because they had to go on the ground because the defense wasn't letting them shoot the ball up high, they got stopped. Three and outs. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of pride. They typically only lose about two games a year, and you start off your first game with a shutout nationally televised on ESPNU. So the Coyotes with two fantastic running backs, this offense will be fine. This offense might just be able to outgun them, but the defense is going to have to control the gales. This is going to be such a... I'm going to be calling the game at Liberty High School, but I'm definitely going to be keeping updates on my phone with how this game is going to go. And, of course, I'll talk a little bit about how the game went in my story for next week's West Side Preview. But the one other West Side game that I think is going to be a lot of fun, we're actually going to have him on tomorrow on the Friday Night 360 Preview Show with Jordan Hamm and Haley Stasiak. Coach Ortiz of the Cactus Cobras, they took down Catalina Foothills, which I thought was impressive. That's a really smart coach there. And, if you're able to beat them, well, you know, they're not always the greatest team, but they're one of the smartest teams in the 4A conference. And the defense, seven sacks for Cactus in that game. And Connor Quartz is starting to get rolling along offensively. So I think that's going to be a fun game as they host another district rival who's in a different conference than them, the Ironwood Eagles. The Eagles actually had a fantastic first game of the year after a 2-8 season last year. They're halfway to their total win total from last season, which I think is really funny. But I think that Devontae Wimbish and that offense for the Eagles is, I wouldn't say I called it the real deal in my article because what I'm trying to say is that they're no fluke. They're going to win games this year. They're going to be a threat to try to hop in there towards the bottom of the playoffs. And I think that they're going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. Cobras, you know, when you lose a coach who's been there for 30 years, that's going to hurt your recruitment of young freshmen trying to come in or even players who are already there. But Zach Cole playing both sides of the line is going to look fantastic. And something that's going to be different for them that they're going to need to adjust to before regional play kicks in, and they're playing Peoria and Desert Edge and Lake Havasu, is that they need to be able to condition some of their linemen. Because I was talking to one of the former players for Cactus who watches the scene very tightly, and he's saying the linemen got really tired at the end of this game because they're playing both sides of the line. That's something that they're not used to doing. So that's something that they are going to need to adjust to figure out how to win in the 4A conference this year with a brand new coach for the first time in over 30 years. A lot of fun stories on the West Side. I got it covered for you at sports360az.com is where I'll have the writing. PSBNonline.com, click that line. I'll be on call for all football and volleyball games for the Liberty Lions this year. Be sure to check out those. And hopefully we'll be streaming live on the Liberty High School Facebook page as well. But that's going to do it for this week's edition of Clutch Talk with Devin Henry. We will talk plenty more football, high school, college, and pros next week. We might even get to the sun soon since preseason is coming on up here soon, and maybe a little bit of your Coyotes action as well. And, you know, eventually this year we have to talk ASU Triathlon going for their third straight national championship, and they've only been around for 3 years now. So that'll be a lot of fun. Be sure to be following me at DevinHenry77 and at ClutchTalkASU. We're going to start getting some more polls out there to hear what you guys think. And I'm going to ask you guys some questions and be able to analyze what you guys are thinking out there as well. That's going to be at ClutchTalkDH. So be sure to be following me. We are on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. But we are all locally managed on Anchor and also Mixcloud.com. So be sure to check us out over there. So until next week, guys, I'm Devin Henry, and I'll see you next time.